The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down, episode 337. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, 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 yo.
And Brian Manjoma.
What up, what up, what up?
Yo, the chat's already popping, man.
You mean you're popping?
Blitz goes, this show, Throwdown, will also be available on last-gen systems. This is true. This is true. You can watch us on your PlayStation and your PlayStation 3, presumably, if it still has YouTube.
We're full.
Or Twitch.
We're mostly backward compatible. So
yeah, we are. We are backwards compatible. Do they have Twitch on Vita?
Oh, well, you can run Twitch. Like, you can go to the Twitch website.
So,
oh, probably, yeah.
So you're saying that Throwdown is available on more PlayStation systems than PlayStation games are?
Yep.
Oh, that's good on me.
You know? Just saying. Sony. You know, by the way,
where you at, Sony?
Yeah, I'm Sony'd out right now.
See?
Uh-oh.
That's from, if you guys hear and didn't fucking see it, obviously, but I have my... I was going to say to play PlayStation Experience shirt from like 2016. So it has like Aloy and some other motherfuckers on there. I think this is a dude from Watch Dogs too.
Yeah, that's the Watch Dogs guy.
Okay, so we got Aloy. We got the fucking thing from Last Guardian. Nathan Drake is in there somewhere. Some Call of Duty guy. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm PlayStation down too. Check that out.
Uh-oh. Ponycast.
Japanese.
PlayStation.
We need subgated to translate.
Yeah, we do need subgated. Yeah, translate that shit, you know? Yeah, man.
Actually, you know, it's funny because, like, they actually have a really good store. Like, you can find some really cool shirts. Like, granted, you can't find the PlayStation Experience stuff on there, but they have some cool stuff. Mm-hmm. I actually saw this shirt at the... speaking of E3, I actually saw this because Sony, what they used to
Sony
do is... They used to have a nice a store that was outside of the E3, out of the convention center.
Yeah.
So you didn't actually, in order to get all the cool exclusive stuff from like from Sony, you could actually just go to the tent, wait on the line, and you can get all kinds of really cool stuff that they didn't have even on their own store, like the Death Stranding shirt, the Kojima production stuff.
That's where I bought my Kojima shirt from. Mm-hmm. I had a PlayStation Experience 2017. They had that big. It was like, actually, I got a story about that. Just got to give a. I'm sending a quick WhatsApp message to Danny Pena. Anyway, so yeah. Was it 2016? My first PlayStation Experience. By the way, we're fluffing right now because like, we got stories. Don't get me wrong, but you know, not much to talk.
It's a little light.
Yeah, kind of light. So
it's the calm before the storm.
Yeah. So 2016, PlayStation Experience. This was also the year that E3, me and Manny befriended Gio Corsi, good friend of ours,
yep.
Right? And that same year, so I go to PlayStation Experience, and the first thing I do is. I don't know why I did this. I was like, I'm just going to go to the store. It's like right there by the entrance, you know? Go in there. Who do I see online just hanging out? Gio. He's just chilling online. He's buying stuff. I'm like, hold on. You work for PlayStation. Like, why are you buying this stuff? He's like one, I want to buy it. And two, I want to hang out with the fans. And that's something Sony's missing now, I think. You know, at that place, both of those places, you would see Gio, Sean Layden, Andrew House just walking around talking to people. Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't just holed up in a little place. They were just walking around the show floor, talking to regular. Exactly. Remember, this is a public show. This is not a private event. It's just regular people there. So it was like, yeah, they're just hanging out. I'm like, that, you know, that's something that I feel Sony needs right now. You just have, like, the iron hand of fucking Jim Ryan, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Granted, go ahead.
I mean, and you also did see Shuhei Yoshida, too.
Yes, he was just walking around, you know?
Well, I mean, back in the day, they seemed more personable people, like the people that were running this stuff. It's like, mm-hmm. you can hang out with these people and have a beer, it seemed like. And now it's more of like the Microsoft people are kind of like that.
Yeah, you're right. Microsoft is like that, you know?
They're just, the PlayStation people just seem more kind of like suits.
Yeah.
More than anything, so we'll see.
Tony, you'll never meet what's-his-face, the guy from Horizon Zero Dawn. He's too much of a superstar.
Yeah, Herman Hunt. Yeah, I'm not going to meet that guy, probably, you know? We're going to talk about Mr. Herman tonight, mm-hmm. you know?
Mr. Herman, paging Mr. Herman.
All right, man. So, yeah, we have a lot of PlayStation stories for you guys. As the featured image suggests, even though we don't know the featured image yet, you guys are seeing into the future. Because we do mm-hmm. not know it. It exists in a state of quantum.
Uncertainty. No, you had it. No, you had it. You had it.
A state
it
of play.
It was in a state of play.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, there you go.
But I wanted to mix quantum theory in there, but it didn't work. anyway, this is news that should not have been used because we on Thread have been saying this forever. God of War Ragnarok or God of War 2, because it hasn't been officially named yet, by the way. Has been delayed to next year. We've been saying this. The thing is, this wasn't even like a crazy prediction. It was like every God of War game, every one of them, including the first one, has been delayed. Why the hell would this be any different? Especially during this year.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, like, why would it even be called a delay? Did they even have a date for
this? Yeah, they did. They did. The reveal trailer that literally just had the logo at the end of it had a logo 2021.
Mm. So, 2021. Yeah. And we said it as soon as we had a show afterward, we're like, yeah, that's not going to be 2021.
You know? Like, why are you lying? Why are you lying? Why are you lying?
I mean, this stuff's like on record, man. As soon as this thing came out, we're like, yeah, not going to be 2021, probably 2022. And it seemed more likely that it's definite now that it's going to be then.
I have a prediction. I'm going to make a prediction.
Oh, are you going to make a bet?
Because God of War games kind of tend to come out in the spring.
Yeah.
March 2022. I'm calling it right now.
I think so, too.
As a matter of fact, I'm so confident I'm going to tweet that shit out. Tomorrow, though, you know, like, it's a little too late right now, but I'm going to probably get some people.
You want to add to that?
Let's do it.
You want to add to that? I'll say that it's going to launch against Breath of the Wild too.
Oh shit!
So you're saying that God of War 2 is going to rip off the date from Breath of the Wild? You're saying?
Yeah, man, that's how influential this game is, man. That everything rips off it. This game is so influential. It has the power to influence games that came out before it even came out. You know?
That's right. Because God of War is already doing this. Yeah. But Breath of the Wild is only ripping off itself because the original game, the Switch launched March of, 2017?
Yeah. That's right.
And then it was a launch title. And then... reverse launch for the Wii U, which was already dead in the ground,
you know.
it's gonna mirror that, so it's not gonna, I'm telling you right now, it's not gonna be a holiday game this year. You know what, the holiday game is gonna be that Pokemon Legends bit. That's gonna be their holiday game.
You know, it's funny you mention that because people are now saying, oh, watch Breath of the Wild 2 come out at the same time as Horizon and blow it out the water like it did with the first game. I'm like, you kind of have that in reverse, bro. You know, obviously Breath of the Wild made more, way more money, you know, but which one's the better game? Let's keep it real here, you know? So, yeah, I mean, hey, but anyway, yeah, God of War, right, 2022, people were a little upset about that, but understandably, the thing that really got them pissed off, this is something we weren't 100% sure about, that we kind of wouldn't be, we said we would not be surprised if this happened, and it's official now, this not fucking rumors, this is official now. Coming to PlayStation 4.
Oh man.
Motherfuckers was pissed. And I understand their anger. You know?
I understand.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I've come to accept the fact that we're just going to have to just live through this shit for the next 2, maybe 3 years. These cross-gen games. But, man, again, it raises the question. Yeah. the fuck did you buy a PS5 for, bro? Actually, there is an answer, but I can't talk about that until next week. You're the boy.
You know? Here's the thing, though. I mean, this is what's going on with the PlayStation 4 is what happened with the PlayStation 2. They could not deny the amount of the install base, so they're going to continue to support it until after, you know, a while after, until everybody's already decided to walk over to the next room. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Here's the thing: the working theory is, and I'm using the word working theory on purpose, right? Because if you look at it on paper, it makes sense. The theory is, okay, there are more PlayStation 4s out there than PlayStation 5s. We got to put the game on PlayStation 4 so we get more sales. I perfectly understand that. But then you have fucking Miles Morales and Sackboy completely throwing that out the water. Both of those games came out when the PlayStation sold maybe 3 million copies. They sold more on PlayStation 5 than on 4. PlayStation 4, way more consoles. Yet it still sold better, both of those games.
I also think a portion of that is forward-facing marketing.
Yeah, they didn't tell you where those games were from.
They didn't say out in the front, you know, out front, those games were exclusive to PlayStation 5. They just showed them on the PlayStation 5 thing, and they may have thrown a little blurb on the bottom that said PlayStation 4 also available on PlayStation 4, but they didn't openly advertise it that way.
Yeah, no, they didn't. Both of those games, so. You know,
so yeah, anytime you saw any sort of advertising, it always said PlayStation 5. So just the assumption of it being out there, yeah. I think that's why people just said, all right, it's a PlayStation 5 game.
So because of that, and because of the fact that there are more PlayStation 5s out there, that's why I feel confident. Sony's not going to do it, obviously. The game's coming on PS4 no matter what. But I think they would make bank on PS5, regardless of all these other issues. And that's why I'm still confident in saying that when Horizon comes out, and even God of War, I'm going to throw God of War in there. When both those games come out, they're going to sell more on PS5. I guarantee you that. Yeah. Despite the fact that there are more PlayStation 4s out there. You know, and by that time, March, I think, is a pretty good time. We'll probably have, like, what, 10 million, 12 million PlayStation 5s, maybe even more, sold, despite all this bullshit that's going on with the global chip shortage and all that, you know? So,
yeah, and I think a lot of it also, Manny brings up a really good point, and I also think another part that adds to it is a lot of people who own a PS5, especially right now since it's so, scarce,
yeah.
Is that people who buy these consoles are the hardcore, hardcore audience. They probably owned one or two PS4s. So these people are the biggest, like, sellers of, are the biggest buyers of games with a new console because they need to play something with it to show it off, and these are the games that are being, you know, advertised. So all of this is kind of, you know, leads to that, you know, selling better over there in that console. But yeah, I kind of want to get into the into the controversy, man.
Uh-oh.
The whole thing with it being a PS4 game, and I think, by the way, We heard rumblings of it the day it was announced. Because if I remember correctly, I think Jeff Keighley was the one that tweeted it. It's like, it's going to be a cross-gen game. Or so, someone did. Jeff Keighley, Jeff Grubb, one of those people did.
One of the Jeffs.
I think it's the Jeff that spells it wrong.
Yeah, Geoff.
Geoff, yeah. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm disappointed, obviously. I've been tooting that horn since even before the console launch. Yeah, man, it's unfortunate that we get these cross-gen games. Obviously, they want to make as much money as they can, and it's cool, the sentiment of having everyone the capability to own the game, but I'm selfish, man. I paid $1,000 for two of these consoles, and I want something that showcases this console to its fullest, man, not just a shiny PS4 game. These games are super shiny PS4 games. That's what they are.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because last generation, I mean, I guess it's better than last generation because last generation, it was the remastering fucking like renaissance. Like every game had a remaster. You get a remaster. Last of Us get a remaster. Every game got a remastered. And it was for like 1 or 2 years until we actually got like a good amount of really good games. And obviously this generation, we're going to get Ratchet. Hopefully that's a good game in a week. We're going to get Horizon and God of War within a year. So hopefully those games are really good. Obviously, they're not going to showcase the console to its fullest. And it usually takes to the end of the life cycle to actually do that kind of stuff. But it'll take even more so this time because people aren't really tapping into the whole thing with, you know, super fast SSDs and all the other features that, you know, Mark Cerny whispered into our ears.
Yeah, you know, and I want to bring up a point you and I kind of briefly discussed on Twitter. It's talking about how, like, okay, so we're going to have two actual PlayStation 5 games come out back-to-back, Returnal and Ratchet and & Clank, and then nothing until who the hell knows when, you know?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, obviously, we're in the games Horizon and God of War. Yo, by the way, we're talking about, like, Gran Turismo. Gran Turismo's coming to PS4 as well, so it's like... everything, man. You know, so
I gotta give a huge shout out to Yongya. He made a really good video today. Uh-oh. About Jim Lion Ryan about believing in generations, and it's mm-hmm. like, man, these people straight up lied to us, man.
Go ahead.
Well, I've been saying that forever.
Yeah, no, we've been like, saying that. It's like they just lied, bro. You know, Lion Ryan, that's why people call him that.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, shout out to Mr. Brett Murdoch, who's joining us, who snuck into the back door.
What's up, people?
How you doing, man?
Yeah, fair to middling. I've been fighting a migraine all night, so if you guys lose me early, you lose me early. That's just the way it is.
All right, man.
I'm here now.
That will mean that your psychic powers have fully manifested, and now you can cause all people to get headaches.
You know, I really like that idea. I'm just gonna subscribe to it. Confirmation bias. There we go.
No, we're gonna do one better, Brett. This is your nascent telekinetic powers. You know, coming to light. So now you'll actually be able to fling people around like what's his face from the Alien video game, Destroy All Humans.
I'm gonna go full elfin lead.
There you go.
Oh no, you're gonna blow up everybody.
Oh no.
I mean, I do want to explode people with a pressure bubble just once.
Oh okay.
Oh damn.
Hustle and Motive is hosting us. Thank you for that. Appreciate that.
Man. Thank you.
Welcome to Throwdown to these new viewers. Anyway, Brian, thoughts? God of War 2022 to PS4. Go.
It's hard to be surprised when I fucking called it, like, seconds after the trailer dropped.
Mm-hmm.
In the chat, I was like, wait, there was no, like, in every one of these trailers, there was like a PS5 logo. This one, there was no PS5 anything.
Mm.
So I was like, what does that mean? That means something. And I'm usually the one that notices, like, these small things. Because, again, I was the one that says, hey, why is it that Death Stranding art box does not say own on PlayStation?
Yep.
What's that about? Again, people said, oh, Ryan, you're being crazy. I'm like, no, this means something. Like,
also, you also said that about Horizon Zero Dawn and A Certain Days Gone. Mm. All yeah, you.
It's like... if these things are missing, then something's up. It's not just a mistake per se. So I was like, yeah, there's no PS5 logo on there, so it's coming to PS4. And then, of course, this happened, and it's like, yeah, I don't know as much. And regarding the date, yeah, anytime that anyone puts like a vague just a year on it, then chances are it's going to be moved. That's one thing I've noticed. Like, if any trailer just has coming this year, it's like, no, it's not.
I know it's not. Yo, Brian. So you said that not having the logo on the God of War trailer means something, but it also can mean nothing because Gran Turismo had only on PS5 logo.
That is true.
Coming on both. they can't decide what the hell they're going to do with their games.
Yep, they flat out said PlayStation 5. So
well, yeah, technically they're still wrong. It is coming on PlayStation 5 and PS4. So you could say that omitting the PS4 part still technically holds, but yeah, I understand. But yeah, it just seemed odd, you know. It's like, why is it that a blatant PS5 exclusive doesn't, well, a PlayStation exclusive doesn't state the console that it's on? It's very weird, you know. So I was something's up with this. This isn't par of the course.
Yeah, go ahead, Brett. Oh, by the way, Brett, to answer your question, no, none of us are surprised because we all called that this game would be delayed and come out on PS4 effectively.
Oh no, I mean, like, are y'all surprised? Like, Sony as a company has built its reputation on its games. I mean, it really doesn't stand on its hardware too much. It's just, that's just a vehicle for its games. You ask any Sony fan, why do you like Sony? They're going to tell you the games. So I think Sony at this point, with having so few PS5s in the wild, I mean, why lock your best asset behind a door that most of your consumers can't get to? So, like, I don't like it, but I'm not surprised by it, honestly, especially from Sony, because you want those big cinematic games getting in as many hands as possible. I mean, that's kind of your deal. It's kind of your business model. You're not trying to leverage streaming services. You're not trying to leverage multiplayer. You're not trying to leverage multiplat games really as much. You're really, your main sell point is your exclusives. So, yeah, I think that they're going to be on both systems for probably at least a couple more years. I know they said only two. I guarantee they're probably going to go three.
I wouldn't be surprised at this point, to be honest. But again, like I said earlier, Brett, the fact that Miles Morales and Sackboy sold more on PS5 kind of throws a monkey wrench in there, because on paper it sounds like legit. It's like, yeah, more PS4s, the game's going to sell better on PS4. But so far we haven't seen that with the exclusives yet. With the PS5
I don't think
games.
It makes a logical sense. I mean, a lot of things that these companies do don't necessarily make a logical sense, but I think that's the fear holding them back.
No, I agree.
On paper.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and I still believe watch God of War 2 and Horizon sell more on PS5, despite all that. Watch, you know? Pretty interesting stuff. But yeah, we called this shit. I'm not surprised, you know? So yeah, get ready. Again, like I said, it's like... it's frustrating. Like, yo, get the PS5, man. I only got two fucking games on it that play that are actual play PS5 games. It's bullshit, man. But it is what it is, man. Three games. I Demon's Souls. Even though it's a remake, but can't run that on PS4. You know. Tony, what are you talking about? Returnal. Demon's Souls. What's that third game? I cannot say.
Yo, man, you gotta be careful.
Yeah, I know.
You guys, Tony, you are forgetting one game.
I probably am. Which one?
I know. Hold on, Brian.
Destruction All Stars. You got me. You got me. Yeah, Destruction All Stars.
Everyone gets that game.
Yeah. You're right. That is the third game. Anyway, we'll move on. A lot of PlayStation stuff this week. Oh wait, shit! I didn't even have the Chirons. I got to help Carlos out. He's doing the clips for this one, you know.
Yo, man, you got to help out future Carlos.
Yeah, but Carlos,
you don't need to.
Yeah, you don't need to worry about that segment we just did, though. But this one, you probably do, because this might be the clip. So let me get this shit ready. Oh man, and Brett's here too. He's not as animated tonight, but there's still some fire in there. And Brett, I may concede something to you tonight, brother.
Oh,
shit.
I may concede something to you, man, but anyway, we're going to get into it. So Horizon Forbidden West, one of the controversies about the trailer was the fact that it was running 30 frames a second. People are like, what the fuck? PS5 game, 30 frames a second? And of course, the Xbox guys made a bunch of memes like, oh, you're the 30 FPS station, even though every PS5 game runs at 60 frames a second. The only outlier was Watch Dogs, and even that got patched. You know, but anyway, Sony came out and confirmed that the game will have a 60 frames a second performance mode. So there you go. And why wouldn't it, since it's actually a PS4 game? And Sony also confirmed that, yes, this is a PS4 game with PS5 graphics. So, yep, that's another one. Because we called that too, because people were wondering, like, wait, is this downscaled? I'm like, games don't. Cyberpunk is like the only one I could think of that gets downscaled. Like, most games are upscaled, you know? So there you go. 60 FPS mode on PS5.
So that means Horizon Zero Dawn is not going to be taking advantage of all the ray tracing and all that other BS.
Forbidden West. Well, it probably have performance RT, it may have. That's just speculation.
I think they did confirm it has ray tracing, if I remember correctly.
It does have ray tracing, but I don't know if it has performance RT. I'm going to assume it does.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, if it's like Spider-Man, it'll probably be performance RT is basically, you know, with ray tracing, but 1440p instead of 4K, you know?
Didn't they come out and say that this was built from the ground up for PS5?
No, they flat out said today it was made for PS4 and then jumped up.
Okay, if you do a search for built from the ground up PS5, this is all that pops up. It's just Horizon 2 built from the ground up PS5 coming from
Jim they said Ryan. That is bullshit. No, by the way, Brian, I'm not saying what you're saying is bullshit. I'm saying what they're saying is bullshit. Of course it was built for the PS4 first, then built up, you know?
Yeah.
Fuck out of here with that. They're full of shit. Sony, why you lying to us, man? Why you lying to us?
Well, to be honest, like, here's the thing. Like, it's... Now people remember because the lies are coming so close to each other. It's like, you know, it's like a few years off. It's like a few years off. Like, you know, you have Jim Ryan saying one thing and then his developers saying another thing.
Yeah.
Yo, get your shit straight. Get your people over there to control your messaging so that you all are all saying the same fucking thing. They have the president of fucking Sony of PlayStation saying some stupid ass crazy shit, and then the other guys are saying, no, we can't do that. No, we're not doing that.
So I'm going to read some of the things that are in this. This is coming from a French developer, right? But, you know, it's been confirmed. The game world is a bit bigger, but the focus is on density. You can use focus scan on humans since they now have armor pieces on them, more aggressive than before. That's cool. You can knock their piece off. The underwater gameplay is deeper than one might think. All right. A lot of the game has been developed on PS4 and is still being play tested on PS4. You know, the base one, the base PS4. PS5 version has a different water rendering technique than PS4, plus more details. The hero lighting, which we brought up before, Manny specifically brought up, the hero lighting on Aloy is only available in cutscenes on PS4, even though we saw the hero lighting in cutscenes in the PS5 one too. Development is on track, okay? There's a new workbench system for upgrades.
Hero lighting is actually a little bit different. That's not the outline that's around her. It's the, essentially what happens is whenever a cutscene runs, they bump up all the shadow quality and all that other stuff, so it all gets really, really nice.
Yeah.
Whenever you're in cinematics, but then it turns off whenever you're in gameplay. So no, they're right about that.
Okay, cool. Workbench, many different biomes, new melee system with combos. Riku probably like that. You know, he loves himself some combos. Completely overhauled skill tree, full 3D audio DualSense. And Brett, are you ready for this one?
We gotta make sure Brett is paying attention. This is the crux of the conversation here.
All right, do it.
New free climbing system.
Ooh.
Now, Brett, 2017, we saw two major games released independently that had free climbing: Breath of the Wild and Assassin's Creed Origins. Right? Which one is the more popular game?
Breath of the Wild.
So I will say, Horizon Forbidden West took that from Breath of the Wild. There you go.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Because they sure as fuck didn't take that from Origins, you know? Because I will not, because the hand glider thing, I was like, I'm right here. I was like, no way, the hand glider thing, I will not give that to a Breath of the Wild. Many games had that.
Seriously?
Free climbing? I've never done that before. Can you hear me? Brett? Uh-oh. You guys can hear me, right?
Yeah,
I hear you.
It's just Brett who can't hear me. God damn it. This is going to be the conversation, man.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Brett, are you there, sir?
I'm back. Yep.
Are you back? Okay. I don't know how much you heard me say.
I heard you say all of it. I think I cut out just before my response.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Respond. Go ahead.
Am I cutting out now?
No, you're fine.
No, you're good.
No. We hear you.
You're good.
You good?
I think he can't hear us.
Technical difficulties. You guys are cutting out real bad. I'll be right back.
Okay. Oh, well. He was fine, though.
He sounded crystal clear.
He sounded super crystal clear.
Yeah, he sounded great.
He sounded fantastic. He sounded better than usual.
Well, you know? I don't know if it's my internet or if it's my PC.
It might be both.
It might be, yeah.
Yeah, but you sound good, Brett. You're good. Just speak.
Okay. It seems pretty even now. That's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, kudos to them for taking a mechanic that other games enjoy and implementing it.
Yeah, there you go. Although here's what I find interesting. So there's free climbing, yet in the trailer you saw her shooting her little arrow, whatever, at yellow things. You know, yellow are the things you could climb. So maybe it'll be a mix of both. You know.
Yeah. Just,
go ahead, Brett.
Hookshot points.
Yeah, hookshot point. Yeah, that's true because there is a grappling hook in the game. You know.
Zelda removed that part of the game. Remember, they had the hookshot.
They did.
Point.
Yeah, they did.
They took the hookshot out for the free climbing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm when I saw the same thing Tony saw, like, There was one scene when Aloy is running into some like pillar kind of things that are on top of water.
Yeah.
And they looked like they had like predetermined like Uncharted style climbing.
Yeah, those gold
things.
Those
gold ledges.
Yeah, exactly.
And the one I saw, it was right before the big oh shit moment where she does the hand gliding. Is she climbs up the thing with, you know, yellow, then the mammoth bursts through it, and then she does the hand gliding. So that's where I noticed. I'm like, oh, look, there's the same climbing things from before, you know? But yeah.
Man, makes me more interested in the game.
Yeah, okay, that's good, good. Because we were wondering, like, is Brett going to shit on it regardless, even though he loves that stuff?
No, I don't shit on it. Everybody thinks I shit on Horizon. I've said nothing but good things about Horizon.
Mm-hmm. Brian?
Brian, you're the fact checker on Throwdown, man.
I don't know. Like, Brett, this is not to go against you. This is just as a clarification. You're the one who says that it was a paint-by-committee game, right?
Yeah, but I said it's kind of also... That kind of also makes it a... like a best hits kind of thing.
Yeah, that works, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I just it's not for me. At least the first one, not for me. But it's a well-made game that tailors to things a lot of people like. It just felt too much like you know, standard game. But that's also, again, not a bad thing if you want to say, hey, what are the best things games have done all year, and shove that one beautifully gorgeous game with an interesting setting and a deep plot line. Cool. Why not?
By the way, when you said this game, it was just standard game, in my head, I saw standard and game capitalized. You know, it's like, it's standard game. You know, TM at the end.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, like, what is it, Brian? Call of Duty. Shooter Man. It's like Shooter Man.
Shooter Man, yeah.
Oh, you know, Brett, you know, Blitz, he always gets a little upset with you, you know, all stuff you play, say, with PlayStation. Yeah, he's like, I think I like Brett better when he has a migraine.
Oh, no.
No, we don't want Brett to suffer.
Anything to piss me off lately.
Yeah, we don't want Brett to suffer, man. No, it's not good.
Man. Nah, I didn't like that. Like,
We've got Bruce Banner Brett right now.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
I'm angry.
This would be Brett is like walking down like a lonely road and stuff, waiting for like a taxi or something.
Yeah. I got backpack slung over one shoulder and a thumb out.
There you go, man.
And then he goes into a phone booth and realizes he doesn't have enough change, and that's when he comes out. I don't have any change.
Oh, man.
By the way. I got something to say, and it might be good, it might be bad.
It might
be
controversial.
It might be a little controversial.
Oh, yes.
The scene, and I still think about this scene every fucking day since I saw it. That scene, and Tony mentioned it earlier, when Aloy is running away from that Oliphant thing.
The Oliphant. Let's call it the Oliphant, man. Let's go.
The Oliphant, yeah.
Running away from the Oliphant. And she's hand gliding, and the camera pans behind her.
Yes.
And the Oliphant breaks the scenery. It becomes a destructible environment. I sure as shit hope they have destructible environments, and that's not like one of those kind of in-game cutscene, like predetermined scenes.
Yeah, like a set piece type of thing. Like Spider-Man had a bunch of those. Remember the mm-hmm. scene with the helicopter that was like hauling. It was like a bank vault or something. It was just crashing into every building. It's like you go back down that same fucking block. Those buildings are fine afterwards, you know.
Right.
So yeah, that would be good.
I hope that, you know, it is actually like gameplay, and the thing just happened to ram into the environment. Honestly, if I were to put my money on it, I would think that's more of like a predetermined scene, set piece kind of thing.
Yeah.
But maybe if it was built on the ground up on the PlayStation 5, it would have happened.
It would have been. Oh, by the way, this is from the first game, Horizon Zero Dawn, right? So they flat out said, we wanted to have flying in this game, but we couldn't because of the limitation of PS4. I guarantee you there's not going to be any flying in this game either, because it's a PS4 game still, you know, which is kind of upsetting, you know.
Wait, wanted to have like what, just like a jetpack or something?
I don't know what they said, but
they'll probably be pterodactyl robots.
Yeah, they probably.
Because I got to say, I'm playing Biomutant right now, and that's a PS4 game, and it has flying.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know what kind. I don't know what flying entailed, but they said they wanted to have flying. But here's the thing, though. Biomune does not look on the level of Horizon, you know. So maybe that's why. But
maybe, yeah. I'm just saying, like, it's mechanic that's, you know, it's able to be done.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I wonder, yo, damn, you got, yo, imagine if they had pterodactyls. Excuse me. That'd be crazy, but I wouldn't. So if they have flying, I'll be surprised, but I don't think so. It's like, if you couldn't do it on PS4, can you do it again? Because it's not a PS5 game. Let's just get it.
By the way, fun fact.
Yeah.
Pterodactyls, technically not dinosaurs.
They're not. They're lizards. They're just lizards, you know, that fly. Wah! Like the fucking falcon. Wah! You know? But yeah, no, they're right. They're not dinosaurs. But yeah.
So Adam might like it.
Adam would like it, yeah. This is just lizards.
Lizards is different.
Well,
thing.
Just show him the elephant. Don't show him the other thing.
Yeah. No, but
you're like, it's this now.
Problem is, Adam's like a secret animal rights activist. He doesn't like attacking animals in games, apparently.
But they're robots.
Yeah, they are robots. He's supposed to kill them, you know.
He's a robot activist.
Yeah, he's
it's the first step. You know, that's damn it. I ruined my own joke, but what's the... it's the gateway drug into animal cruelty.
Oh, man, it's a slippery slope.
But then the question is, can you really kill something that's not alive?
Uh-oh, we're getting to some ethical robot shit right now.
Stuff like, yeah, you know? Is it alive?
Yeah.
What is life?
I mean, can you kill your phone? Or, like, is your phone alive?
Brian, I like the way you think, sir. I like these questions.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, what is that?
I'm
pretty sure a lot of the people that play those games couldn't care less about those types of conversations, something that we would appreciate here.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. They do that shit with normal animals in games, you know? Like, whatever, killing them. I know, man. Like, in Last of Us, I'm like, I see a dog, I'm like, that's the first thing I'm fucking killing. You know, because they blow up the spot. Fucking dogs always blow up the spot. It's like, all right, arrow to the head, arrow to the head, arrow to the head. You know,
that second one, man.
Skin every animal in Red Dead Redemption.
That's it. You know, there's even a trophy in the first one to kill every buffalo.
That's right. Yeah, extinction or whatever.
Yeah, that's it. I did that shit with Glee. You know,
wait,
fuck them buffaloes, man.
I have a question.
Yeah, what's up?
It's a tangent. Uh-oh. But it's a tangent with Red Dead Redemption. So I only played a little bit of the game. So you can extinct buffalo in that game.
There's a trophy for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
It's like make them extinct or something like that.
Rockstar did not give a fuck.
There's an unlimited amount of every single animal inside of the world of Red Dead Redemption, except for buffalo. So you can literally murder every single one of them.
John Marston killed all the buffalo. It was him.
Yeah.
By himself.
Yep, there was just John Marston, you know? Oh, Mr. man. Marston? Rockstar. I don't know if Rockstar would do something like that these days, but back then,
I mean, can you do it in two?
No, there's no trophy like that in two.
Oh, okay.
it was just in the first games. Like, you could make the buffaloes, it's like you get a trophy for it. Remember, I was doing that for like a whole night just looking for buffaloes. And the thing is, the buffaloes, just like in real life, are stupid easy to kill. They're just hanging out in the open. So you just fucking pop them in the head, you know? Made a lot of money off of them, you know?
Can you imagine a game built from the ground up on the Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5 from Rockstar? I sure as hell can't, but I can think of a fucking patch for their GTA 5 that's fucking 10 years old.
You know? But yo, think about that. 2 years from now. Coming. 2 years from now, that game's going to be 10 years old. And it's still going to be in NPDs.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's not in NPDs, but it will be back.
Yeah, if that patch comes out,
it will be back. You know?
Oh, yeah.
All right, man.
Believe that.
Move on to the next segment here. Let's talk about Herman Hulse.
Paging Mr. Herman.
So he had an interview over on the PlayStation blog, and it was also a podcast. So I'm just going to go down the line here to talk about what he talked about. So PlayStation blog, you know, they asked about single player games, you know, like, are they essential to the PlayStation experience? And of course, he said, yes, that's in our DNA. So
yes, they're in our DNA.
Yeah. Actually, man, did you hear the podcast?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I just read the thing because I didn't feel like listening to it.
Yeah, reading is a little bit faster than listening because it takes a while, you know. So
he's gonna, to be honest, like in general, I don't like listening to podcasts created by, you know,
the company. Yeah.
Companies like that, because I feel like all it is just a bunch of shit that you want that they think you want to hear. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's never any. There's no megatons on there. He's not gonna say like, you know, something controversial. Right?
Yeah. Here's something he did say interesting. Who says that multiplayer experiences can't have great stories? Is he trying to tell us something? You know?
Well, I mean, I guess you can consider Returnal a multiplayer game, kind of?
Kind of, sort of, but not really.
I think the nod is more, we're going to put a multiplayer mode to Last of Us 2.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. Where's that, you know? They're asking about partnerships, whatever, you know, Jade Raymond Studio, whatever.
Talking about partnerships where like, by the way, he still mentioned Kojima Productions, which I noticed what's interesting about the Kojima Productions situation. It's kind of like out of sight, out of mind at this point in time.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like he's working on anything for directly anything PlayStation, at least I think.
Yeah. No, he just talked about them over the years, Kojima Productions and From Software. You know,
yeah.
And no news there. Are you able to give us a snapshot of the total number of titles that PlayStation Studios are currently developing PS4 and PS5? Ooh, okay.
Here we go.
25 titles. We talked about this, though. Yes. 25 titles in development. Almost half of these are new IP. All right, we talked about that before.
So that means it's 10.
Yeah. Right. How important is new IP for PlayStation? You don't even have to read the answer. It's very important. Of course, he's not going to say it's not important.
He's not going to say any friggin' megaton. He's just going to he's going to toe the line. Okay, so yeah, okay, they're very important. Good.
Now this part's interesting though. Bend Studio, remember they were told no Days Gone 2. They're working on a new IP that has the framework of Days Gone, the open worldness. Okay, that is interesting.
Yeah.
See the thing with these kind of interviews, like you said, Manny, done by the studio, you gotta dig around because it's mostly gonna be a lot of fluff, you know.
Yeah, it's gonna be stuff that's gonna toe the line. And to be honest, it's like, I mean, they're not going to work on another Days Gone just because of the media reaction to that game.
Yeah.
So
they're asking him how the studios have dealt with the challenges of their own. I don't care about that. How does PS4 factor into PlayStation Studios development vision? Oh, okay. Is it still a focus internally for future game development? I do want to read this part. Let's see what he has to say.
Okay.
It very much is. You can't build a community of over 110 million PS4 owners and just walk away from it. Okay. I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Confirming what we've been saying.
Yep.
You know, essentially, you have so many consoles out there. You can't just go walking away from the damn thing.
Yeah.
They're going to continue to support that thing until it doesn't make any money anymore. Exactly like PlayStation 2.
Pretty much. Here's where, you know, this is the part that news outlets took, where it makes sense to develop a title for both PS4 and PS5, Horizon Forbidden West, the next God of War, Gran Turismo 7. We'll continue looking at that. We were like, wait, what the fuck? He just dropped it.
He essentially said what we already knew.
Yeah. And then he says, with that being said, it's still important to have showpieces for PS5 hence the development of Returnal and Ratchet and Clank. So, yeah, there you go. The only two games that are going to be PS5 exclusives this year, you know?
Yes. Also, so do we also have the semi-rebuttal of what the head of PlayStation said on the list, the docket?
What did he say? We could basically just throw it in there right now. What did he say?
Well, didn't he say he wanted to make only PlayStation 5 games?
Oh, no. That was what Jim Ryan said a year ago.
Yeah.
It was Jim Ryan and someone else.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But literally, it was like May 30th. It's like, we want to make games that are only on PlayStation 5. This was like last year. Literally last year.
Last year. So a year ago.
Yeah, I went on a rant about that because I was like, how are you going to walk away from your... I even said the same thing he said in this interview. How do you walk away from 110 million PlayStation users? How do you do that? He said that without batting an eye. I was like, this guy's a fuck... I've been calling Jim Ryan an idiot for like 2 years. This fucking guy's making galaxy brain statements.
Yeah, galaxy brain. let's see here. How does PC fit into the worldview of PlayStation Studios moving forward? We're still early in our planning for PC, and Horizon Zero Dawn has been very successful. I think it shows there's an appetite for from gamers outside the PlayStation ecosystem to experience the amazing portfolio of games that PlayStation blah blah blah. I want to emphasize that PlayStation will remain the best place to play our PlayStation Studios titles at launch. Key right there, because a lot of people saying, oh, they're going to be coming day and date. Sony's not doing that shit. Like no, Brett just said, their bread and butter is their first-party exclusive games. They are not going to do anything to upset that. So you will get those games on PC when they're no longer making any fucking money, you know?
Exactly. Number one, just like how it was before, once the bottom falls out and the games aren't making any more money, that's when they start making that decision. Okay, we're going to pop it on the PC and give this title a shot in the arm.
Yeah. He goes, releasing games on PC will never come at the expense of building an exciting lineup of great console games. All right. Talks about, oh, we want to bring in new people, blah, 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 whatever.
I actually have something to say about that.
Go ahead.
All I'm going to say is give it time. Because all it's going to take is enough pressure from someone that says, hey, I need a third jet. So put day and date on PC. Like, that's all it takes.
Yeah.
All it takes is one person to be greedy, and then they'll say, like, hey, it's making money after it's launched on consoles. Why not put it at the same time as consoles?
Hmm.
And I'm not saying that it'll be coming soon or something. All I'm saying is that all it takes is just a simple push from some people in some very, very expensive suits, and then it'll happen. So I'm not going to say that it's never going to happen. All I'm saying is, it's pretty much a matter of time.
And sure, then someone will say,
we need money.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And the day that happens, I'm going to be on Twitter all day. That's going to be hilarious.
So much salt.
Oh, you already know. Let's see. Another topic that's been out there recently is Japan. Oh, okay. Do you feel that from the PlayStation Studios perspective that Japan is still a big focus for development, or are you maybe considering a shift to a more Western focus for game development? I'm going to read what he says, but I'm predicting he's going to give a type of answer where he says Japan is still important, but we're also focusing on the West, so all our studios are important. Watch it be some kind of answer like that.
All right, here we go.
I want to be very clear that Japanese games and Japanese talent remain extremely important to the PlayStation Studios. I'm telling you, man, you can read these guys, man. Japan and Asia are strongly associated with their legacy, the success of Sony, the PlayStation brand, and blah, 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 blah. I remember watching a PlayStation Showcase event last year, and it struck me how much Japanese influence there was in the games that we showed. Was there?
Really?
What PlayStation was he watching? Not the one I watched. that's part of PlayStation DNA. I know the potential for high quality games from Japan and some of the blah 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 blah. Polyphony Studio. Okay. Oh, he actually didn't say anything about Western studios in here. Okay, good for him. He just said Japan, yay Japan, you know.
Yay Japan. Our Japanese development is so important to us. That's the reason why we fired our internal PlayStation studio.
You know,
let all these classic developers, like the developers who created Shadow of the Colossus, Ico, Gravity Rush, and Siren, and the Puppeteer, and a bunch of other games.
Yeah. Here's one little thing that's a little interesting. Oh, go ahead, Brian. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I'm going to hell for this, but fuck it.
Oh, do it.
They had probably said that, yeah, our PlayStation Studios is so important to us, that's why we nuked the fuck out of it.
Oh, shit.
And then we moved the headquarters to San Francisco. Yeah,
we did it for their best interests.
And by the way, Brian, you didn't need that statement to go to hell.
Oh, damn, you're trying to say Brian's already in hell? Fuck. Damn.
Oh, man,
holy shit.
Cold-blooded. See, your state was more fucked up than Brian's, man.
So I'm going to hell.
How do you think he knows?
Yeah. Yeah, you're trying to say Brian's already going to hell anyway, man.
Oh, man. We're all sinners.
Well, you know, I was about to say something that really would get me in trouble, but I'm going to stop. we're building...
So you're thinking about it. So you're going to hell, too.
Well... Carlos, don't make me say
no,
it.
No. Don't say it. Just like, don't spoil shit.
Yeah, I'll say it after the show. I don't want to alienate are believers. Anyway, we're building Team Asobi in Tokyo, a world-class studio that are developing a franchise for all ages with global appeal, such as such a creative team. Okay, Team Asobi, that's new news. That's news. Okay, cool. Japanese studio. So, yeah. That's pretty much that. The big takeaways here was the that God of War and Gran Turismo are coming to play in 4, to be honest. You know? The rest of it was just kind of, you know, PR speak.
Yeah, they really, it's really like jumbled garbage. And it's like,
I mean, was this whole interview?
That was it. I mean, those were the highlights that you have to listen to the podcast. But, you know, I'm pretty sure he's not going to say anything wild, you know, wild.
Who was the person? Is this internal PlayStation interview or is this from
internal PlayStation.
Oh, no wonder. No,
because it's like you don't press him on anything. It's like, didn't press him on that at all. The whole thing with like, are you so focused on Japanese games? It's like, but that sounds like you're lying to me.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. it's PlayStation interviewing him, so you're not going to get any hard hitting questions.
You're not going to get any hard hitting questions or answers.
Yeah, so that's that. And you know, even though we already brought it up, may as well just get into it a little bit. What do you guys think about Gran Turismo coming to PS4? Like we said before, it was listed as a PS5 game, and Sony even said, "Yeah, we're making a port for PS4, basically." So that game was being built for PS5, but now they're making it on PS4. Brian, I want to get your thoughts since you're the big car guy around here.
I don't know. I'm slightly concerned because, again, the GT games have always been just like those games that have been like, hey, this is like top class. We spent 5 years making a freaking tire, you know.
Yes.
So they put a lot of effort and a lot of work in like into just squeezing out as much as possible for every single system. So I don't know how it's going to work when they take something from the PS5 and put it on the PS4. I'm scared that it might have like Cyberpunk type problems.
Mm.
But on the whole, like, hey, we're getting GT7 confirmed. That's great. I love that. We need more GT games. Don't make it online only. Don't do that shit.
Oh, God. Yeah. But it's interesting, right? It's like the game was made for PS5. Then at the they literally said, this was a recent decision. We're making a PS4 as well. So it was a PS5 game first, you know? So I wonder how that's going to work. Here's the thing. I want to know how these games are going to run on PS4. Like, is it going to make the consoles just melt or take off into space? You know? It's fucking crazy. You know? Like, that was the first thing I was thinking about when I was watching The Horizon. I'm like, yo, how is that going to run on PS4? You know? Halo's going to kill your consoles, man. You know? Or the, Brian, give me a car name.
Toyota, Mazda, Dodge.
Yeah.
Aeonisegg.
There you go. Yeah, give me like one specific car name. That's cool.
Muscle car.
Boring. I was thinking about like
the Bugatti Veyron.
There you go. That the Bugatti Veyron's gonna fucking destroy your system. You know. So yeah, man.
Well, when your PS4 melts, there'll be a nice coupon for a PS5.
Yeah,
right. From the ashes.
I'm telling you, my conspiracy theory is that they're putting these games on PS5, so on PS4, so they destroy your system, forcing you to buy a PS5. That's what I think is happening now. You know, that's my Tony conspiracy theory. You know,
Hey, do you guys think that the sticker that gets stuck inside the fan is actually that coupon for the new PlayStation?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the only thing that will survive the meltdown.
Right.
It's like, oh shit, there's a coupon in here.
You pop this fucking game in there, your PS4 is going to be like the that dude at Raiders of the Lost Ark, like, just melting, you know?
you got to think about it like this. But Gran Turismo 7 is probably coming out 2020. Oh, no, it's going to come out 2022 or later.
Or later.
You know, 2022 this Gran
Turismo,
is,
you know?
2022 is the most optimistic date or optimistic year, but it could very well come out in 2023.
Yeah,
and you know what? And you know what? 2023 marks
10 years after PlayStation 4 dropped.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know? So that's, you know, running a game, and it's going to run on a system that's 10 years old.
Not only is it 10 years old, but it was already underpowered when it came out, when it was new. You know, mm-hmm. think about that. Remember, that was the whole complaint about those systems, the Xbox One and PS4. Oh, these systems are underpowered. Yet now we want these games on these old-ass systems, these dry, dusty-ass systems. You know? It's crazy.
Even think about it, and everyone brings up the whole PC stuff. It's like, oh, you know, it's scale like a PC does. Scale like a PC game does. PC gaming, if your PC is 10 years old and you're trying to play the new game, good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You know, so now we're going to have PS4 games. It's crazy. It is crazy, man.
It's nuts, man.
Yeah, but we'll see. But the game probably will look beautiful, you know. That's for damn sure. I don't know how it's going to look on PS4, though. We're going to have to see. Digital Foundry. Digital Foundry, that's all I'm saying, man. Please.
It's going to look like those cyberpunk cars.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. It's going to look like Gran Turismo on PlayStation 1, you know? All right, man. Let's move on. Let's talk about E3.
Oh.
Yeah. And by the way, just for the fuck of it, I register for a media badge. You know, I don't need it. I already have so many appointments for E3 without a fucking badge, you know, but I'm like, why not? You know, I want to be doxed too, like everybody else, you know,
it's funny. Like I was talking about this a little bit on Twitter, but apparently I still get the media stuff from working at STFU and Play. I still get the thing saying, hey, you know, register for the media, blah, 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 and all that stuff. Only thing is that I'm not working really for a site, so I can't actually, apply.
Yeah. you should have the coalition, you know?
Nah, I mean, to be honest, it's all good. I don't really need to cover it.
You're trying to tell me that they still think you're part of the industry?
They still think I'm part of the industry. It's funny because long after I have done... in fact, Microsoft only stopped sending me the media contact in 2018.
Wow.
I was still getting them and registering for them.
Emilio, tell me about it. I've been trying to quit the industry for 20 years.
Speaking of which, where the hell is he?
Did you guys see that video I posted of him from like fucking 9 years ago? He's just laying down on his couch or something. I'm going to make my prediction for E3.
No, I was about to say something, but I'll definitely go to hell for this. So
no.
Uh-oh.
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
Joey McCullers.
No.
All right. Anyway, let's go down E3's... This was a nice little checklist done by who is this? Her name's Sonia on Twitter. She's an illustrator, freelance guide, designer at IGN. Very cool. Nice. So she made a nice little graphic. So this is what we can expect at E3. You know, some things are not locked down, finalized, but you know, we'll see how it goes. So anyway, starting on June 10th, remember this is like all of it. Like even Summer Game Fest gets lumped in here. So Thursday, June 10th, Throwdown. You know, we will be streaming a certain game that day. Summer Game Fest is at 11 a.m. I'm going to use Eastern times here. So that's at 2 p.m. That's the kickoff of Summer Games Fest. I wonder what they're going to be showing. So there's your kickoff for Summer Games Fest on Thursday, June 10th. Then Friday, the next day, it's going to be the Netflix Geeked Weekend. The fuck is that? So that's at 12, and then the IGN Expo at 4 p.m. that day. Don't know what they're going to be showing. Interesting. So June 12th, the official first day of E3. We have at 11 a.m. Guerrilla Collective. I don't know what that is. Wholesome Direct. I don't know what that is either.
Wholesome Direct?
Wholesome.
Yeah. Ubisoft Forward. There we go. So Ubisoft Forward at 3 p.m. Should we stream that? We'll see.
It's one of the better ones, I would guess, from the rest.
I think we should probably stream it.
All right.
Let's stream that. All right. So there you go, people. Thank you, Carlos. Perfect. All right. Okay. So that's Saturday. Let's move on to Sunday now. Scroll it up a little bit. Sunday we have, the big one. We will be streaming this. There's no question about this. We will be streaming the Xbox Plus Bethesda event. At 1 p.m. And right after that, Square Enix. 3:15. Square Enix. We will probably stream that too. We're going to be streaming a lot on fucking Sunday. Damn.
Yeah.
No time for this one. This is Brian's favorite. I'm not even joking. PC gaming PC. Show. PC gaming show. Yeah, go ahead, Brian. Maybe Brian will stream that one. I don't know.
Isn't Brian's favorite Devolver Digital?
Damn it, Carlos, man.
Devolver Digital's...
anything, I don't know you, man.
Yeah, by the way...
like way too well.
Yeah, my bad. Devolver Digital and Gearbox are after Ubisoft that the day before, but they don't have the times for those. Gearbox, okay, interesting. Future Game Show, I don't know what that is. That's a 7. Warner Brothers, I wonder if we're going to be talking about that merger, you know? Warner Brothers, June 13th, but no date, no time. Then on Monday, because E3 is 4 days, you know, it's fucking crazy. Okay, so no times for these. She just wrote these down. Take-Two, Capcom, Mythical Games, Freedom Games, and Razer will all be having presentations that day. Then on Tuesday, June 15th, Nintendo Direct / Treehouse at 12 p.m. Yeah, we'll probably stream that too. Why not? You know? Bandai Namco, Eureka Games, GameSpot, sometime that day, and the E3 Awards. I don't know what that awards means.
They've never had that before.
No, that's something new. So the E3 Awards, no time given, but it's on June 15th. I wonder if they got the E3 committee to select those games.
E3 committee.
E3 committee. And then Wednesday, June 16th, Steam Next Fest at 1 p.m.
Let those some steam.
And in the Steam Next Fest, it starts that day and it ends on June 22nd. So there you go. There's your E3 schedule.
Yeah, and like Tony mentioned earlier, shout out to at Sani Yaga.
Yeah, Sani Yaga. Shout out to her.
Yeah, she made the graphic, which is pretty good.
Yeah, very helpful graphic. Yeah, so we'll be, as you heard tonight, we will be streaming a lot of shit for you guys during E3. So get ready for that. A lot of reactions, a lot of shit talking from Throwdown, you know?
Throwdown.
Any thoughts on that?
So I think, obviously the big one for me is Xbox and Bethesda. I think that's the big one for a lot of people. What other one is, you know, Brian's looking for Devolver Digital. I can't, Nintendo. Oh, Nintendo. Okay.
Nintendo's is just going to be Pokemon. I guarantee it. They're going to talk about Pokemon Indies, more Pokemon, and then if we're lucky, they'll mention Breath of the Wild 2.
They're not mentioning that shit.
We've been hearing the rumors about and it's pretty much confirmed at this point with the Switch Pro.
Yeah.
But they're going to talk about it before E3. They already said that.
Yeah. So that's the other part, that they're going to talk about it before E3. So I'm like, you know, we got this is the 15th. Never mind. So we got 12 days. Yeah, we still got plenty of time. I thought this was much earlier.
Oh, no. We got time. For myself, I want to see the Square Enix one. Looking forward to that. And Ubisoft, I want to see as well. You go ahead,
Chris. Yo, somebody explain Skull and Bones, man.
Yeah.
What happened?
What happened?
Do you think they're gonna Square Enix is gonna go over that PlayStation 5 game? Project Athia. I think it got a name already, but so it's still Project Athia to me.
Well, remember, like there's Project that Kyle. Not only that game, the rumored Final Fantasy Origin game. Remember that shit, the Dark Souls game.
Oh yeah.
So Enix is gonna be very interesting. Ubisoft, I want to see more of Far Cry 6. Looked fucking cool, by the way. Did we get? When the hell did they show that shit? Did we talk about it on the show?
I don't think we did.
No,
I don't even remember.
Did it happen between Throwdowns? Like, because that was...
Yeah, it happened between Throwdowns, yeah. I think.
That shit was good. That looked really fucking cool. Like, it has like a Cuba thing going on, you know?
It's got Homeboy from... From
Breaking Bad. Yeah.
From Breaking Bad and Mandalorian.
Giancarlo Esposito and... Yeah, I don't remember.
Yo, when the fuck was that reveal? I'm like, did we forget to talk about it on Throwdown?
It was on Friday. That's why we didn't talk about it. It was on a Friday. Yeah.
And you fans didn't ask us about it.
Yo, man, what's up?
I'm blaming you guys, man.
It's all your fault.
Yeah, because I'm over here tripping. Like, hold on, what the fuck? Like, How did we not talk about that? You know, chorizo, right? The fucking dog.
No, man, I'm hungry now. What's going on?
The dog. The dog's name is chorizo. The dog in the like little wheelchair dog. Like, that's his name.
Really?
Chorizo, yeah. I'm not even lying. Yo, by the way, Ubisoft are gangsters, man. They're selling you the $120 collector's edition that comes with a chorizo doll. No game.
No what? Game?
No game.
Holy shit, not even a code.
Yeah, right?
Man.
Ubisoft, a bunch of gangsters. You know, like Lando Calrissian.
A bunch of gangsters. It wasn't Lando Calrissian. It was...
That's a bunch of gangsters.
The dude from, it was the dude from the first one. The Captain Tarpus or whatever the fuck his name was.
Grandma Tarkin?
No, the guy... Amidala's like chief of security. That
oh,
guy.
That's right. That was him. That's a bunch of gangsters. Yeah, right. That was him. He's
that's
what he said.
That's a bunch of gangsters.
Yeah, they're right. That is him. Yeah, Amidala's head of security. Yeah, yeah. Yo, Tony, man, why are you mistaking them? Because they're both black? You know?
Oh.
I fucked up. But yeah, E3. There you
see,
go.
See, that was... See, the thing is, how you know it's not Lando Calrissian? Because it wasn't happy.
That is true.
You know,
a bunch of gangsters.
Like, hey, old pirate!
That's right. Hey, the HUD's a bunch of gangsters. You know, he'd be very happy about it. You know, that dude was mad. He's like, fuck them HUDs, man.
Yo, man, Lando Calrissian in that last movie was fucking hilarious. Yo, man, you should. You shouldn't see that movie, but
yeah.
Yeah, he was. There was some weird ass scenes with him.
Why am I in this movie? Somebody gave me a Colt 45.
Yo, man. By the way, Far Cry 5. Like, is anyone looking forward to that game?
Six.
Yes. Six.
I am.
I mean,
cool.
I mean, I'll play. I mean, I played the last two. Well, last three. No, I get it.
Here's the thing. I haven't played the mainline Far Cry games, but I play all the offshoots.
You played Primal, right?
I played Blood Dragon, Primal, and New Dawn. I've played all those, but I haven't played the main games.
That's funny. After Blood Dragon, I skipped the offshoots.
Yeah. And it's funny because like Blood Dragon and New Dawn were like DLC-ish games. Primal was a full game. You know?
Yeah, it's a full game. Yeah,
it was fucking awesome. You know? But yeah, Far Cry looks cool. So yeah, Ubisoft. I want to see what Capcom has to show.
Yo, you think they're going to... Anybody going to mention Beyond Good and Evil 2, Ubisoft?
Yeah, I don't know.
Any year now. You know?
Yo, Michel Ancel, where you at, bro? I don't know, man.
He's busy making monkey games, man.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look at this list again later because I'm like, oh, we got to prepare. We got a lot of streaming ahead of us, so stay tuned.
That means we need to be getting ourselves a little schedule going along.
Yeah, we do have to get a schedule. You know? All right. And then the final story of the night. This was a little bit of a correction, not from us, from Microsoft. because I don't know if we talked about this either, because I think it happened on a Friday too. Basically, I don't know who said it, but it was that Dolby Atmos or some shit was like exclusive to Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that's not true, and Xbox had to make a correction.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. So this, I'm going to read what Xbox had to say. A blog post was mistakenly published by a local Xbox team that included inaccurate information regarding exclusivity of Dolby Atmos and Dolby Vision on Xbox Series X and S. A Microsoft spokesperson tells The Verge, there is no exclusivity agreement of either tech on Xbox. We are proud to partner with Dolby to offer Dolby Atmos and Dolby Vision to gamers on Xbox, and we'll have more to share about the general availability of them soon. Okay, so there's the correction, because everybody was saying, oh, look, Sony ain't got it. Fuck them, you know? Because it always devolves into that, you know?
So, okay.
Yeah, any thoughts on this? I know we in the Discord, you know, this was a big topic, especially with John Christ, because he's not happy with the PlayStation sound for whatever reason.
I mean, that makes sense to me. I mean, Dolby Atmos is licensed all over Hollywood and stuff. Why would they lock it down to one system? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
When Sony can license it for their movies, but they can't license it for their game system or their titles, like, that doesn't make sense. So that's good they put out the correction.
Yeah. And then Dolby just said Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos are not exclusive, are not console exclusive, and we look forward to working with Microsoft and all of our partners to make Dolby Vision available to all gamers. So. Maybe it's coming to Nintendo Switch.
Notice that they didn't say Sony in there.
Or Nintendo.
Notice that they didn't say Sony in there.
Or Nintendo. Yeah,
or Nintendo.
But, you know, they could be
Nintendo.
Could be them. So, yeah, interesting stuff. I don't really have much more. I decided to go in there because it was, like, got a 10 about this fire because people were going crazy. So that was that was one of the fires. And the other one was like, oh, Horizon's only 30 frames. It's a 30 FPS machine. Fucking crazy. Anyway, let's finish off with the games we have been playing lately. If Adam were here, he'd do half of this by himself, you know? Anyway, let's start with Chris tonight. Chris, what have you been playing lately?
Oh, man, I'm still trying to do Mercenaries mode in RE Village.
Oh, boy.
That's my last trophy, and I get the Platinum. You got to get S rank in all modes. I only have 2 of 4, so that third one's a bitch. I like rage quit it twice. Damn. Shit, like, oh, bullshit. Well, I mean, I hate like that. The fact that they tied trophies to the side shit. I did everything in the story mode. I beat that game sideways, right? And then you got to do these fucking mercenary modes. You upgrade your weapons in one mode, and it doesn't carry over. You start from scratch every time you start a mode over. It's a pain in the fucking ass. You have to decide what you're going with. Are you rolling with a shotgun? Are you rolling with this? And guess what? You have to figure out what works best in each mode. So you have to play the mode like 30 times. And like, okay, I got to go this way, and this that way is faster to keep my combo up. It's a pain in the ass. I don't know. Anyway, that's all that's up. That's my obsession. I just want to get my platinum so I can move on.
There you go, man. Brian.
In a big surprise, I've been playing a game that I talked about quite a lot. Can you guess what it is?
Elite Dangerous.
No, it's a game that I've not played yet. Or I haven't played till last week. But I did mention it quite a bit.
he got the Platinum in that last year, man.
Oh, well, you got that. Bug Snacks?
No, I beat that.
What's
that one game that... Everyone keeps asking me if I played it yet.
Oh, Tony must have been the one asking that question.
Was it me?
Yeah. Okay. I was hoping that you guys were going to say Pokemon Snap, and then I'd say, nope, I've been playing the Medium.
Oh, the Medium. Interesting.
Oh, the Medium.
Yeah, the Medium.
I'm like that one dog that like you try and like point in some way. I'm like, nah, I'm going that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, you like it?
Yeah, tell us about the Medium.
It is all right. It reminds me of Heavy Rain, but without the weirdness of Heavy Rain so far, and like the horror stuff. There's a few things I like the whole dual world thing. That's quite cool. It has some cool mechanics in there. So like you solve puzzles in one place, and then that affects the other place. That's quite cool. But then some other things I'm not a fan of, like the horror aspect. It does a thing where you watch a cutscene and then you're suddenly being chased and then the controls are all reversed. It's like, like what? Like why? Like tell me that I'll be chased and then I can adjust myself to the new controls and then I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But on the whole, it's pretty cool.
One thing about that game, I mean, this is at least from what I noticed, it doesn't really escalate that game. It pretty much is the same throughout.
Okay, cool. Well, again, just seemed like an okay game. Nothing too special, nothing too bad. One of the really cool things that my girlfriend had noticed is that it's set in Poland, and she noticed that from the very first cutscene. She was like saying, oh yeah, that's Krakow. And I'm like, how do you know based on like just random black and white footage? And she's like, yeah, I recognize the buildings. So it's quite cool. I've been saying to her that it's really quite nice that it's set in Poland, but nothing is in Polish. So
yeah, it's kind of frustrating. It's an alternate universe Poland where everybody speaks English and has absolutely no accents, by the way.
Oh, sounds like the village from Resident Evil Village.
Oh, yeah, everybody speaks perfect English.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's set in like 1999, if I'm not mistaken, and like the World War II happened. So hence it's just kind of like, what the hell's going on here? Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just meh. One of the cool things that I really did like, and I don't know if this is Windows or it's Xbox, but DualShock 4 just worked instantly. Like, I was in a game, I plugged in my DualShock 4 because the keyboard and mouse controls are trash. Mm. So I'm like, yeah, I need a controller for this. I literally just plugged in the PS4, did nothing else, and then it just worked instantly while I'm in a game.
Did they actually put some legitimate fucking drivers in that damn thing? You don't need to do some stupidity to get it to work anymore?
Yeah. Again, I don't know if it's Xbox that's doing it or it's Windows PC that had an update. But yeah, it's just fine. So I'm going to try it out on other games and see what happens.
So wait, you plugged it into the Xbox or the PC?
PC.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I use the same USB for my microphone as the DualShock. So just plug it in and it's like, bing. It did that Windows noise, and then just worked. It's like, wow. But obviously, the prompts are Xbox prompts. So, meh. But yeah, it's all right. Going through Elite Dangerous, still traversing the galaxy, having fun with that. Still finding just unknown spaces and being freaked out by how weird the universe is. And got back to Monster Hunter World the other day.
Oh, just shit.
Going through, trying out some new weapon types. I think I'm going to go for the Gunlance next.
That's what I use. Yeah, I like the Gunlance. The problem with the Gunlance is like it plays the opposite if you're using an insect glaive or whatever. You move slow. You're tanking. Like you could take a pounding, but you can't move very well.
Yeah, I've noticed that, because at first I was like, okay, cool, I'll draw out the weapon, and then it's like, am I stuck in something? Like, is there, like, honey nearby or something? Like, I can't remember. What the hell is this, you know?
I used
insect glaive, like, I fly across the map one side, I do a backflip, where this is like, I just slowly just walk to you. But the shield's amazing. It's like, anything that tries to hit me is like, nope. Rathalos, nope. Diablos, nope. Ardegaron, nope. Like, come on, just try something. So yeah, it's great fun, and plus there's nothing better than just poke and shoot. Like, I'll poke you with a stick, I'll shoot you with the gun.
There you go, man. Alright, Brett, tell us about Biomutant.
I'm really enjoying it. I've started to see some places where, like, some of the people are like, I'm starting to understand some of the criticism, even though it doesn't necessarily affect me. It really does repeat itself a little bit during the narration. It really beats you over the head with this whole environmentalism thing, but man, I'm having fun like scavenging areas and turning toothbrushes into greatswords. The stuff that it does have is really cool, and I really have to disagree with the whole it doesn't know its identity. It just does a lot of small neat things. It has like kind of a Borderlands system where you can just piece together weapons, but then you actually see them that way. If you put mods on your clothes, your character models running around with them. So it does a bunch of really cool stuff, and the combat is genuinely fun. I see what Tony's kind of talking about, where it's kind of floaty, but one of your big criticisms, Tony, is you don't have the kind of satisfying knockback that you wanted. And whether for better or for worse, they did that on purpose. There are weapons that have knockback that give you that very satisfying feeling of being able to knock people around the battlefield. So, you know, I'm really enjoying being able to, like, you know, I really like the gun-fu kind of aspect to it. It feels different than Devil May Cry does for some reason. But being able to go from, you know, weapon to guns to psionic powers to back to guns, and it's a neat mix. It's a genuinely fun game, and I strongly recommend anybody who, you know, is thinking about it and thinks that they can, hate to say it, but make up their own mind, give it a try. It may surprise you.
Yeah, I'll jump on. Yeah, I've been playing some Biomutant 2. Cool game. I don't like the fact that a lot of people are hating on it. I think it's unfair, to be honest. Mm. I'm not trying to give the game any leeway or whatever, but I do think it's cool that we have a genuine AA game, because this is bigger than an indie game, but not as like in terms of scope or as positive AAA, AA game, and it does what it does fairly well. I just saying, you know, because like, maybe it's because I'm playing it on PC, but there's some weird stuff that happens, like some stuttering happens here and there. And so that may be just a system, but yeah, like some of the combat is weird, because sometimes you're like, this is boring. There's something like, this is fucking awesome. Like, it's kind of weirdly inconsistent. I like the slowdown. That's a lot of fun.
The slowdown is too, it's super stylish. More games need to do this.
The Yeah, as a matter of fact, now that I think about it, the slowdown never lets me down because it's really fucking fun, you know? And I've started to be more melee person because I just don't find the gun combat too satisfying for whatever reason. But just going in there, whacking motherfuckers, doing crazy DMC combos, like you say, that's a lot of fun. Like, if you time your... It is easy, too. The countering, just counter and then jump in and do some crazy shit. That's pretty fun. So I'm unlocking more moves and stuff. But yeah, like you said... Yo, the game gets repetitive, bro. Like, every world eater is the same shit. Hey, here's a new world eater. Oh, you have to go build this thing to, you know, you have to build this vehicle to go to it. Oh, you have to capture this animal to distract it. It's just like the same shit over and over and over again.
It's totally ripping off Zelda. Like, unabashedly saying, okay, yeah, we're just doing that Zelda thing with some of the Fable. You know, like, it's funny. Like, if this game is guilty of pretty much everything that... Horizon Zero Dawn is, but I like it, which is kind of one of the reasons I'm, you know, kind of careful not to talk too much crap. But yeah, it's a greatest hits of video games, but it's a greatest hits of video games from 2001.
Yeah,
like I said, it's got a weird nostalgic feeling to it. The only thing I can say is as I played it, I thought myself multiple times, like, man, they don't make video games like this anymore.
No, they don't. Like I said, it's an interesting game because it's like a mid 2000s mascot game with modern progression in it, which is kind of a weird, interesting mix there. Also, some of the narration annoys me. Like this is what I mean. You'll go to an animal. Oh, yes. And then blah, 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 blah. Oh, and then the animal said this. I'm like, can you just have the animal just talk? Like, instead of
I don't think they have the budget for that. But well,
I think it's exactly what it was. They just didn't have the budget, you know.
Yeah, it's a budget thing. It's like you remember we're in Little Big Planet. Literally, they only had that one voice guy doing a bunch of voices in it. Yeah.
But the problem is, like, you have to hear the mumble, unintelligible thing of the animal first, and then the narrator comes in. I'm like, can we just have him talking over the mumbly shit? So just speed this up, because you know what I'm saying? Because it's like you're locked in that same camera angle. You can't move. You're just rah, 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 rah. And then who you said to move forward and to go ahead? Rah, 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 rah. But there may be something along your path. I mean, you know.
In fairness, it's weird. The skip on it, you can skip one thing at a time, and it includes like the animal mumbling. So if you just hit it like. Animal mumbles, you're like, nope, and then it immediately cuts to what the narrator's saying. Animal mumbles, nope. Or you could, like, animal mumbles, you just hit it twice, and you just skip over the narrator completely.
Yeah.
Just because I read faster than they do.
Yeah,
so
I do that too, right?
So I'm like, yeah, get on with it. Yeah, I know, go over there, get this thing, uh-huh, got it.
Yeah, I don't let them finish their sentences. I read faster than they fucking talk, you know? But yeah, it's a funny game. I wouldn't recommend this game at $60. I think it's a great $40 game for sure. So definitely check that out.
Hold on.
Yeah.
In a world where Returnal costs $70, I absolutely recommend this as a $60 game.
Shit. Ooh, that's a good point. And I can't disagree with you. Because Returnal, listen, man, you get way more. You know what? Fuck, I take it back. Compared to Returnal, yeah, this game is worth $60 because you get more out of it, you know?
No, that being said, for those of you on the fence, do exactly that. Wait for it to drop to $40 and then play it. This game, honestly, it's... I get a feeling that this game is going to be one of those cult games.
Yeah.
Like, it may not reach a mass audience, but there are people like me who love it who are going to love it. And I almost want to say it doesn't have the same kind of lowbrow humor, but... If you like Conker's Bad Fur Day, this is kind of along that same vibe.
Not as raunchy, though, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, not as raunchy, not as lowbrow, but, like, it doesn't remind me of, like, Crash Bandicoot. It takes a little bit more grown-up tone than Crash Bandicoot, but a little more highbrow than, like, Conker's kind of thing. It's somewhere about, I genuinely can't tell you who this game is made for. I'm like,
yeah, it's weird.
I don't think this game is made for kids, but I also don't think it's necessarily made for adults. It's just a weird middle ground, and it takes pride in being weird. And that's just the one thing, that right there is the one thing I want to support. Also, if this game was successful, Biomutant 2 would be the shit. Like, even if you're like, man, I kind of missed the mark on a couple things. Like, yeah, let it get some money under its belt. And actually launch a second game, a sequel. Oh, that shit is going to be butter. Butter. I just want to sell enough copies that they do make a sequel.
Yeah. I guess we'll have to see. And what else have I been playing? It's I guess we haven't done a, you know, what have we been playing a while, because I've already gone through two Mass Effect games. Like, I'm loving it, you know?
I was about to ask you, can you officially speak on something you've been playing, or is that still too early?
No, I can't, unfortunately.
Still too early.
Still too early. Soon, though. I can't talk about that, but yeah, I've been playing. What's up?
What are you, too loyal?
I'm too loyal. I like having access to codes. That's what, you know? But yeah, Mass Effect, first two games, fucking phenomenal. Better than I remember. I'm playing 3 right now. I'm like, oh, I don't like this as much as I remember. The opposite.
Yeah, 3 comes down after 2, man. It's not 2's the highlight of the game. But hypothetically, if you were doing a new thing, how do you think that you would feel about it? Don't actually answer that. Don't answer that.
I don't know. Well, anyway, just speaking about Mass Effect, the first two games, especially, so I'm like, okay, because I love those games, and Mass Effect 2 is my second favorite game of all time, and it just reiterated, I'm like, this game is fucking phenomenal. This is fantastic. Great game. And again, with 3, I just remember, like, I didn't like the ending, but I liked the rest of it. Now I'm playing, I'm like, oh, this is good, but it's not as good as the other two, you know? Except for the combat is fucking amazing. You know, best in the series without a doubt, you know? I'm barely even using cover. I'm like, fuck this shit. I'm running around because I'm so nimble now, you know?
That's how you do.
Yeah.
I think that the third game, honestly, like, I'm going to say something controversial.
Whoa.
I don't think Mass Effect 3 is as good as people think that it is.
I agree. I kind of agree, Brent.
And well, here's the thing. You were riding high on the back of Mass Effect 2. You were so excited to finish the trilogy. And then all anybody thinks about was how terrible the ending was. They forget how mediocre some of the middle part was, too.
Mm-hmm. And this is
somebody who has loved Mass Effect, but 3 was a little phoned in. I mean, clearly 2 was a labor of love. And then 3, they're like, yeah, cool, money.
Yeah. Yeah, and I learned, like, that game, they only develop it in, like, 20 months. Like, because EA was like, you got to get this shit out. You got to get this shit out fast. You know, so yeah, it clearly shows. So it's a little bit jarring, because I remember when I played Mass Effect, I was just like, yo, this whole game is awesome, except for the last 1 minute. I'm like, the actual game itself, especially coming off of 2, like directly off of 2, I'm like, even 1, I'm like, I don't know, man. It does feel, yeah, like something's off with it, you know? It's not the combat. Combat, again, great, but it's just that feel is missing. It's hard to explain, but so I'm getting through it, but I'm not playing it with the same amount of gusto as I did with 2. 2, I fucking devoured it again. I'm like, I'm not doing nothing on my free time except for this fucking game. You know, it had me. You know, 3, you know, I'm playing it here and there, you know.
Did you have time to forget the differences?
Well, I did have to jump into 2 games in between, but no, there was no time to forget the differences. Because they were separated by a week, you know? But think about it like this. I jumped from Mass Effect 1 to Mass Effect 2, and I was like, oh my god, Mass Effect 1 sucks. I'm like, hey, Mass Effect 2, like, when I was playing Mass Effect 2, I was like, oh, I kind of missed some of the shit they did in 1, you know? Which is kind of interesting. But now I'm playing 3, I'm like,
Well, I mean, someone's breathing.
Yes, yeah, probably Brett.
Mass Effect 1 had a better, more operatic type of story. Like,
even the feel, grander. You know?
Yeah, it feels different from 2. 2 is more personable. It's like the 7 Samurai kind of feel, like what's it called? Rogue One type of feel.
Yeah.
Like it's a mission, and the stakes are really high, and it's all concentrated on your crew. And the first one, it's like this grandiose saving the planet type shit.
Yeah, the galaxy at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, the galaxy. So I like those two contrasts, and they both serve different purposes. And the third one, it's interesting you guys are saying that. I mean, I remember loving that game, like the thing that everyone says. I love that game until the ending.
Yeah.
So when I'm definitely gonna revisit this trilogy, because it's probably my favorite in gaming. And I'll see, and I'll let you guys know, because it'll be interesting if I feel
again,
like.
Again, remember, Carlos, I'm surprised, because again, I remember loving Mass Effect 3, right? Loving it until the end. And I'm playing, so I'm like, ah, I kind of don't like this as much as I remember. You know, and it's crazy because it's a fucking war story. It should be fucking grip. Like, I remember when I played, I'm like, this is fucking crazy. You know, the whole galaxy is at war. This is fucking nuts. You know, but
huge ass robots and shit.
Yeah, I'm like, this is. it was insane back then. But now I'm like, why don't I have that? Like, when I was playing Mass Effect 1 and 2, I was like, that same feel I had back then was amplified playing it now, you know, like 10 years later. Oh, shit, this is insane. You know, and then Mass Effect 2, I'm like, where's the feel? Where's the thing? Where is it? It's gone, you know? And also something kind of interesting, more of a, like an artistry thing, right? Okay, Mass Effect 2 had like the blacks were really fucking deep. Like there was such a big contrast. And in Mass Effect 3, the blacks aren't as like contrasty enough. So it's kind of throwing me off. And it's funny because I played one of the DLCs for Mass Effect 3 where you go back to the Citadel and that same color scheme comes back. I'm like, so you have it in that one spot. That means you deliberately took it out of the rest of the game, you know? So it's kind of interesting. And even Mass Effect 1 had more of a dreamy type of look to it, you know?
Yeah, because it was a little, it had that bloom all over it.
Yeah, and even in the new one, the remaster one, it still retains that, right? And then 2 had that sharp contrast. And I always thought, orange was a very prominent color in that game, right? And then in Mass Effect 3, it technically looks better, but something's off with the color grading for me. You know, that it's like Mass Effect 2 was like a noir, but in color, you know? And 3 just kind of looks more generic, for the lack of a better term. It doesn't have a visual style like the first two games did. And the first two games look different from each other, you know? So I'm like,
The third one is kind of Mass Effect Michael Bay edition.
Kind of, you know? But I don't know. Something's throwing me off.
Again, I'm not taking... I think all you really need to do to remedy this, man, is, you know, probably take... more than a couple weeks off between 2 and 3 if you're playing through the remaster. Because I think it's just because you rolled from 1 directly into another, man.
Yeah, but think about it. When I rolled from 1 to 2, I was like, it didn't diminish 1. I was like, or 2, I was like, these games are fucking great for 2 different reasons. Now with 3, I'm like, this isn't what I remember. Brett, I can't use that solution for myself right now because I'm already deep in it, you know?
Real quick. Is it safe to say that Mass Effect 3 is the return of the Jedi of this trilogy?
I think it's safe to say that Mass Effect trilogy follows the original Star Wars trilogy to a T, right? You got the first game, which is pretty much the first Star Wars movie, awesome, self-contained type of experience, right? You get the second one, everything gets darker, it gets heavier, and it kind of ends on a cliffhanger, right? And everybody loves it. And then the third one, kind of loses track, even though Return of the Jedi has a better ending than Mass Effect 3, you know?
Yeah,
for sure. But Mass Effect 3 doesn't have Ewoks, you know?
Yup.
But it generally follows that direction. It's like, we're here with the first game, we're even up here with the second one, then with the third one, a little bit down here, you know? I don't know. Throwing me off.
I feel like the first game has kind of some of the Fable effect. You know, if you guys remember Fable, like, a lot of people loved that game, myself included.
Oh, yeah.
It was half retarded, but it was half retarded in such a charming way. I think Mass Effect 1 is like that. Like, it's stunted, and there are things that are weird about it, and, like, there are little oddities that kind of give a character. But for the most part, like, it's such a lovable game. Like, yeah. You can't help but get drawn into it, you know, warts and all.
Yeah.
The second one kind of cleans that one up, and I think the third one is just about more polish and less of that thing that made one magic. But I mean, that's something you're going to get anyway. Please don't think that I'm talking shit. Mass Effect is one of the greatest video game franchises ever fucking released, but yes, there is definitely an ebb and flow to their titles.
Yeah. Actually, we should say Mass Effect Trilogy is one of the best ever released. We don't talk about that other game. We don't talk about Andromeda around here.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you're right.
There's not another game.
Yeah, you're right. It's just a trilogy. You know.
I think you had a bad dream, man.
Yeah, I think.
Oh man, I think BioWare did too. You know. So yeah, that's what I've been playing lately. Carlos.
I'm saving myself a Ratchet and Clank.
Oh shit! There you go. All right, Manny, how's Nier?
Still sort of, you know, chipping at it now that I have a little bit more time now. You know, a bunch of my projects have closed up. I'm just chipping away at Nier, and I also tossed in, you know, a PlayStation exclusive with quotes. Virtua Fighter 5.
Oh, shit. Tell us about Virtua Fighter 5.
The fancy version of it. So, yeah, it's pretty much like it's... if you guys have, if you play, I mean, man, Virtua Fighter 5 is so old. It was like PlayStation 2 era?
No, it was 3.
It was PlayStation 3?
Yeah.
Okay. I remember at some point I had that game. But yeah. Anyway, so it's pretty much just a really nice version of that game. The one thing that they did do, which is kind of a little stinky, is that they removed the where you could earn all the different costumes and things inside of the game, where they sort of just put it behind a paywall. So now you pay like $9 and you get everything that was in the game that you could unlock just by playing it.
Oh, that sucks.
Which is a little disappointing. But yeah, it was nice to play it again. I mean, I played through the arcade mode, kicked Doral's ass, and yeah, it was good stuff. I also tested out the online mode, which I'm very impressed with their online mode. Very smooth way to get into it, and like on the main menu, I don't even know how they're doing this. I don't even know if it's this video, but when you're on the main menu and you're online, it literally just streams to you fights that are happening on the online mode. That's so you'll crazy. Just see two random people just playing, or you'll see sometimes like you can actually, I think some you can also record or record some you in the training mode. So there's all this stuff that's just getting, you know, popped onto your screen if you just hang out there. But yeah, the online mode is really well done, like super solid netcode. Like I jumped into a fight, you know, really easy. Didn't feel like there was any sort of lag in what I was doing and what the other player was doing. And one thing about Virtua Fighter, you know, I always find is that it seems to be a little bit cheese resistant. You know, yeah. Like the person can cheese you, but you can seriously get out of it. As opposed to some of these games where they literally get you into a lock or they're just constantly kicking your butt. But I did pretty good. I got to like level 7 as far as ranking on the online mode. Look at me playing online mode.
Look at you, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, so it was good. It was a good little bit of play. You know, granted, like this, the only disappointing part is that there's nothing to the game beyond what they get with what's there. It's, you know, you can't earn anything because I would continue to play to unlock all the stuff, you know, in the game like I did for the 3 version. But unfortunately, yeah. Also, side note, me and Tony are going to play that tomorrow.
Yes, we'll play that. Yeah, probably tomorrow. I mean, we'll keep you up because I think I actually have to write something tomorrow. But
yo, man, you want to write something?
Yeah, man, got to make that money, you know. But we will play the game for sure. So stay tuned for that. You know?
Chris, jump in there.
In spectator mode. Put your quarters down, you know.
Yeah, we'll sit in the room, you know, watch each other, you know, take turns beating the shit out of each other. It'd be great.
Oh, well, when are you doing this?
Probably tomorrow. I'll let you
probably
know.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, like, I'll be at work, so.
Oh, yeah.
No,
okay,
no,
we'll
no,
do it
no,
after
not
work.
Like
we'll
middle
work.
Of the day. Yeah, no. Oh, okay. Like after work and all that stuff. Yeah. Yeah. We're not doing it like at 12 o'clock in the middle of the day.
No. I got to work, man. Make that money. Yeah, if we do it after 5 p.m. or maybe later, like around 8, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, good stuff. So, yeah, that's the only stuff I've been playing right now. Granted, I can play a little bit more video games now since, again, my schedule's a little more free. So, yeah, definitely.
Good stuff. All right. I believe we are done for the night. So, man, you have anything to plug, sir?
Bill, there's the usual things. Marvel, DC, got stuff coming through both of those. Excellence, as always. You know, that's still working on our issue. Just a lot of things have sort of come up, but we got some really cool stuff coming up really, really soon with Excellence. Not only in addition to our Kickstarter book, which thank you for those of you who picked it up. I also did an interview with a fan pretty recently. I don't know when that is going to be showing up, but I'll keep you posted on to when that's happening. As far as Threaded on Drawers, we'll see what happens. I just have to come up with something to do, and maybe I'll do another near stream now since I have a little bit more time now.
There you go. Was it with Perez, that dude?
Yep.
Yeah, that was a good dude, man.
So yeah, it was a good little interview. I think we did about an hour or close to an hour and a half. So I think he's busy sort of conjiggering that stuff around or when he's going to post it. So we'll keep you posted as to when that's going on. We did a really great interview though.
Good stuff. As for me, just stay tuned for next week. That's all I'm saying. Stay tuned for next week. Got a lot of content for you guys, man. So watch my Twitter, Romudeth, R-O-M-U-D-T-H, and you'll see it all, people.
Oh, by the way, I'm thinking even during the pre-3 stuff, we might interview Tony Polanco next Thursday.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We will be talking about something. Something that will also be a separate video. So, so stay tuned. Again, I got a lot of shit for you. Can't say what it is, but I got a lot of shit for you next week. It's going to be crazy, you know? So stay tuned, man. And you know, we got The Walking Dead, I'm Negan.
Yeah,
you gotta watch iTunes.
You know, man on man action, you know. Gotta have some.
All right, man. Let's move on. Move on to the end, I should say. Follow us on Twitch and Twitter. You already know. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord, where this week was always popping. This week was crazy with the rumors.
Oh, this
man.
Week was crazy, yeah.
So don't miss out on the Discord, man. You can search us on any podcast app on earth. Throwdown Show, you know, two words, Throwdown Show. And throwdownshow.com is where you can listen to all the past episodes, man. Links to everything. Especially the Discord down below. And if you're watching us on YouTube and you enjoyed this episode, if you like the content on this channel, hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when we go live with Throwdown, Throwdown Your Questions, and Throwdown Clips. Some of those clips have gotten spicy this week, boy. So
spicy.
Spicy. All right, so we are done here, people. So once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Spoon Real.
And Brian Mungiomo.
Later, people.
All right, guys. Sunday. Oh, by the way, you motherfuckers forgot to remind me, man. Sunday,
I'm
people.
I'm reminding you.
Yeah, people. Sunday, E3 questions. Give us your pre-E3 questions for Sunday's show.
Yes.
So get ready. And then on Thursday, it's going to be the pre-E3 show. And then Sunday after that will be the E3 question show. It's so weird, man. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, for this week's Sunday show, leave us questions for about E3. If you want to ask us other gaming stuff, that's cool, but I'm going to focus on E3, you know? Anyway, see ya later.
This is
peace.